Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and don't ever let it be said that we just kind of play out the string here at the end of the week. We bring like Matthew Spencer and Rylene Simpson to end the week. That's pretty good. You're welcome to call this hour. We're going to talk about, and our guest is Rylene Simpson, and she spent a great deal of her adult life as an atheist in a same-sex relationship, and then she was one of the three people profiled in the documentary film Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which you should watch. I'm just going to say that right now, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, you should watch it. It's a story of redemption and conversion in Christ, and after returning to the Catholic faith in 2009, she shares her story at conferences and like now on the radio and EWTN and all over. And you're welcome to call to talk about same-sex attraction. And Rylene, well, first of all, welcome.
Thank you so much, Cy. Glad to be here.
888-318-7884 is the number. But you said it in a way I didn't want to forget. I'm holding it in my brain right before we went on the air. And I want to ask it to you. You said it in the opposite way, but I want to ask it. You didn't say it as a question, but you let me just put it to you as a question. Why would someone who's gay want to be part of the Catholic Church?
Okay, that's a great question.
Well, and I got it from you.
So. I must be a genius.
I think that's possible.
Yeah. So I think that what the Catholic Church has to offer gay people is the same thing that it has to offer the rest of us, which is the truth. And being as it's the church that Christ established for us, and our means, primary means of salvation, I'd want to be there, you know, and that was something that I neglected when I was in the life, the gay life. I thought that like so many people in the culture, that the Catholic Church hated us and that the Catholic Church was unwelcoming and, they didn't want us to be there, and, nothing could be further from the truth. And we are all children of God. And those of us who are baptized are members of the church. And it's where we all belong, whether we agree with her or disagree.
Yeah, right. It's where we all belong because that's where we meet the Lord who loves us.
That's right. And he set it up specifically for us. It's such a, you know, it's such an act of generosity that he put his church in place. Universally around the globe, we're everywhere, so that anybody who wants to encounter faith and encounter Jesus Christ in his person can come to the Catholic Church, and here he is waiting for us. So
The number is 888-318-7884. If this is your own question, maybe you're thinking, I do belong in the Catholic Church, but you have lived separated from the Catholic Church, maybe because of same-sex attraction, maybe because of living in the life, or so to speak, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe this is an issue in your family. Parents, we've had lots of parents talk with Rylene about this, and if that's your situation and you'd like some help about how to be helpful and how to be a good parent to your child who may be experiencing same-sex attraction, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I do think there's this thing about that you just said about that we all should come to the Catholic faith because here we meet the Lord, and the Lord really wants to be close to us. He doesn't want to be far away from us. But there's another thing that's happened. There's the other side of the story. And I've noticed it in my own life, you know, spent most of my adult life in Catholic ministry of one kind or another. There's a greater openness in the church now to all kinds of people, and not saying, oh, we can't talk about that, or we don't, you know, this is, oh, you know, put that up. That I might have felt that more in the church 40 years ago, I feel it less in the church now. And this is actually a good awakening for the church as well. I feel like this is, it's not just a one-way street of, oh, the church has something to offer people who have, you know, all kinds of different lifestyles and attractions, but actually the growing openness has actually been good for the church too. We've learned to love better.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. And I think that you're right also. I think maybe 60, 80 years ago, there's a much higher chance that somebody might've been shunned for some perception of who they are or what they were up to. The church is very welcoming now. And probably, I mean, even when I was growing up and I made all kinds of assumptions about the church, nobody had ever rejected me.
Yeah.
No, seriously, nobody ever rejected me, but it was in my mind that I would be rejected. And I think that was probably due to my own conscience, to tell you the truth. Saying, right. You know, you're not living the way you're expected to be living. And so, you know, just that little conscience prick that gets us all the time.
So. And we sometimes do take that and put it on other people, that our own sense of our conscience is afflicted with something. We say, oh, that they're judgmental. I can't hang around with those judgmental people.
Judging me, making me feel guilty. So that's a easy reaction to have. It's a defense mechanism, probably.
888.
That would be the answer. Sorry.
No, that's okay. 888-318-7884 is the number. Rylene Simpson is our guest, accompanying those with same-sex attraction. If that's you, or if that's someone in your family, or just something you'd like to know more about, how to be helpful. Some people, you know, we want to know, what's the words that I should use? What should I say? What should I not say? That's fine. Whatever level the question comes at, you're very welcome here. 888-318-7884. There have been ministries developed, books written. It's all of this has been very, very positive. But I think that you're right. You know, when you were speaking about 60, 70 years ago, I read this story recently about, what was his name? The great coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was a super well-known Catholic. Lombardi. Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Lou Holtz, but okay.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi. And there was a man who played professional football around 1959, 1960, who the other players knew was gay. And Vince Lombardi's this hardcore Catholic guy. And what he said was, nobody gets to say anything to this guy. You don't get to add to his burdens. You leave him alone. He's a really good football player. And I thought, for 1959 or 60, that's what Lombardi took from his Catholic faith, was you don't get to pick on other people. You don't get to be a jerk to other people. I don't care how tough a football player you are, you don't get to. And I thought that, you know, there's probably people in the past that we say, oh, in the past that, you know, we had a bad attitude or something. I don't know that we're always being fair to the people of the past when we say that either.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's the truth. One time in a homily, one of our priests at Holy Family said to the group, now, in 1960, if you were sitting in the pews and you were kneeling and standing and kneeling for communion and the altar was facing the other way, blah, 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 do you think those people really understood their faith? And everybody, almost everybody said, no. He said, are you? And then he went into the kind of a whole thing about they sure did understand the faith and they knew that that was the body of Christ. And,
it's always been a gospel of love, and there's always been people who got it and people who didn't get it. I guess I was just really impressed that Lombardi, at least in this instance, clearly seems to have gotten it.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's a nice tale to keep in mind for all of us.
We're up to the break already. Holy smokes. I don't have to take callers. I can just talk to Rylene, but we are going to take callers. So if, let me see how many lines are open. We got lines open, 888-318-7884. But those of you who are on the line, hang on. We'll do it when we come back right after this. More on accompanying those with same-sex attraction with our guest Rylene Simpson on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hey, this is Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter. I'll be delving into the fascinating world of miracles and taking you on a hunt that explores the greatest mysteries and marvels of the Catholic Church. I'll be examining what constitutes a miracle, how miracles are investigated and approved, and the role they play in the lives of the faithful. We'll look at the miracles of the Gospels and early Christianity, considering the claims of the miraculous in our own modern age.
The Miracle Hunter, tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. There's a lot of stereotypes in the world, and certainly the sexual revolution has produced all kinds of stereotypes about how Christians react. The prudish Christian is certainly a stereotype, one that I do not think is fair, but there's stereotypes that go the other way as well. And the more we break them down, the more we love each other as brothers and sisters loved by a divine father, the better we're doing. And Rylene Simpson is just wonderful at that. If you have questions about same-sex attraction from a Catholic perspective, if you're a parent who has questions, if you're someone who's outside the Catholic Church who has those questions, maybe you're trying to live within the Catholic Church and you have questions about how to do that, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. And then anytime I make a list like that, I don't know who I left out, but if you're not on the list that I just parsed, you're welcome to call too. 888-318-7884. Rylene, I think we're ready to go to the phones if you are.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Let's start in New York. Josh, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Josh, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Rylene Simpson.
Okay, so I had a question. So when people were born in a Catholic family, and then they decide to be transgender or like gay, why would they decide to do that if they are raised in a Catholic family?
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent question, Josh. And so I think that what happens is, so we're raised with particular values that we consider Catholic values, but the level of understanding that we have about our Catholic faith is very mixed throughout the world. And so some people have very shallow understanding of the faith, and some people have very deep and every level in between. So that's one thing, is that every Catholic family is different, and also every Catholic family has its own dynamics. The people who end up calling themselves transgender or gay, let's focus on the first one, the transgender one that you mentioned. Those people are experiencing something. And when we say decide to be gay or decide to be transgender, this decision comes as a reaction to a set of feelings and experiences that the individual is having, right? So people who end up in this transgender mode of life, they're experiencing a disconnect between who they see as their own identity and the body that they have been born into. And if they don't understand their Catholic faith very well, and if it hasn't become, even if you understand your Catholic faith, if it hasn't become an integral part of your being, you might not realize that the faith teaches that the body and the soul are a single unity, right? The body and soul together are what make a human being. And so in that case, it is impossible to be born in the wrong body, right? You can't really be born into the wrong body. But if somebody is experiencing these very difficult feelings about discomfort about their body, it happens to a lot of teens anyway, particularly, well, I mean, just it happens to a lot of teens. You're growing, you have hormonal changes and fluctuations, your bodies are changing. And so you can get very uncomfortable in your own body. And if you don't have that firm grounding in the faith, in the understanding of the human body, and that it's not just an accessory, an optional accessory, or an accessory that you can, you know, slough off like you can change the case on your cell phone. If you don't have that foundation, it would be easy to think that the problem is your body and not your feelings. And also in our culture, I have to say that we elevate feelings far above factual information, far above truths, and we've even defined truth out of existence practically. So it's easy for people to fall into that trap of thinking that, you know, the body is just this accessory and our soul is the thing. But it's a unity. That's the Catholic teaching. I don't know if that helps.
I hope that helps. Thank you very, very much for the call and for the question. You were, we did an interview with Dr. Anna Samuel on this topic, and I'm glad that you approved of that, Rylene. I will suggest people go to that. You can go to Catholic Answers Focus on anywhere you get a podcast. You can go to Catholic Answers Focus and get it. You know, among the things that we hear when you talk about the body, I also think, and I want to just run this by you, if I may, Rylene, the bodies of teenage girls are a problem for the teenage girls, in part because they have seen the pornographization, I guess, of the female body. They don't want that. The boys that they're that they might be interested in, they've been pornographized as well. It's amazing to me that there's any young girls that are happy to be girls that don't want to be boys these days. And I mean, I'm kind of being fresh in saying it that way, but do you see what I'm saying? It's not surprising that girls have been made so uncomfortable in their bodies. They're expressing that discomfort.
Yeah, I agree. So I would say girls' bodies are under attack from every direction. The fashion industry,
yeah,
it's a very, very insidious kind of enemy of women. What women are and young women are taught to expose, the level of skin exposure there is, the and I think that you're right, the pornographic connection is clear. And then also this there is a cultural disconnect between the body and the person, right? Yeah. So again, this culture that thinks that I think there were a few ancient heresies dealing with the body,
right,
being bad and stuff, and it's like it's come all the way back around again.
Right.
So, but I think the sexualization of younger and younger people, not just girls, boys too, are being sexualized earlier. The right, prevalence of pornography in the culture, and the casual disregard for, I think the casual disregard for marriage actually is making that institution disposable and whimsical. I feel like that also has tentacles in this as well. And I haven't really thought through why, but I think it's, you know, when there's that missing father in the house for young women, I think that's a terrible tragedy too.
I think you are exactly right. And that is actually the practical consequence of much divorce, is that the father is not in the house. It's not all divorce works out that way, but that in most, that's the practical consequence for a girl, is her father left her.
Father left her, and then she goes to visit her father, and then he's remarried, and then there's his new wife's children, her daughter's there, and you know, it's just like a whole thing.
Yeah, we made it tough. We made it awful tough on kids when it's already tough just on the biological level. Thanks very much for the call. I'm going to keep going. Let as many on as I can with Rylene Simpson. Your call is welcome. 888-318-7884. I'm going to Sharon in Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Sharon, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We can. Sounds like you're on the road, though.
Yes, I am.
All right, well,
I'm on the road. I love your show, and it's just really, really helping me so much. I'm Catholic and grew up Baptist and Covenants, and but now Catholic, and I'm a teacher, and I work with several, you know, K through 12, and so many students are now thinking that they're this, that, or the other. And it's just so scary to me as a Christian, as a Catholic, to know what to say to students. And you have to be so careful at school. You really can't say much of anything. But when they're coming to you, when they're, you know, they're crying and wondering, who are they? And it's just, it's I'm just so torn, you know, because I want to speak the truth, but I know if I do, you know, it would have to be outside of school and whatever, but I don't know. I'm just scared for these kids, and it's being, you know, in many school districts across the country, many even starting in preschool and kindergarten curriculums, they are, you know, telling young children that you can decide if you want to be a boy or a girl. Right. That's your decision. And it's terrifying. You know, and I try to, you know, I pray and I'm like, Lord, just help me to be your light. And she's a Christian, and we had many conversations like this, and I said, you know, I think God has us here. We're like in the trenches. This is our, you know, our mission field right now. And
yeah, I think that's right.
That she'll use us. So
Sharon,
what guidance and knowledge.
Yeah, let's
get
some of that from Rylene, and then we'll come back to you. Rylene, what might you say to Sharon?
A couple things. First of all, excellent question. And thank you for being a teacher, right? We all have benefited from our teachers, and we owe a debt of gratitude, unbelievable debt of gratitude. So thank you for that. And especially in this environment that we're in today, it is very, very difficult, and I'm completely sympathetic. I'm going to throw out here the standard thing that we always have to start out with, which is, I'm sure you are doing it already, but pray for your children in your classrooms, right? Pray for your own children, of course, and then the children in your classrooms. I'm going to refer back to the Catholic Answers Focus episode that Cy did with Anna Samuel. It's called Talking to Kids About Gender and Identity. I think there were a lot of really good points in there. And one of them is has to do with, I think she called, what did she call it? Size barnyard anatomy.
Oh, yes, that's exactly it. Yeah. Or farmyard. Yeah, I think barnyard anatomy. Yeah.
Barnyard anatomy. And so I do listen to that program and talk about that. But she uses the point that when you go to the zoo, when you visit the petting zoo, when you go to a farm for an outing, all these things that you might do as a part of a school activity or, you know, a outing. She's talking about it as the parent, with the parents being the primary educator, which of course they are. And you're supposed to be certainly in the area of faith and morals, secondary to the parent. But she makes the point that, like this animal has this kind of anatomy. She's more specific in, since we're on radio, I'm not going to say it, but she points out the male anatomy versus the female anatomy on the lambs or the cows, and talking about sex from the earliest recognition of it. It makes makes it for a foundation that you can build on as children grow up and are exposed to these other ideas, right? If you establish sexuality, the sex between the animals, how that produces baby animals, and that keeps the human process in mind and builds a foundation where you can talk about that reasonably. So I don't know how you would incorporate that into your classroom. But so many other terrible things are being brought into the classroom. I don't know how anybody could argue about it from the other hand. But, you know, I'm not a teacher, and actually I don't have kids either, so I'm not the best on that. But I do think that age-appropriate, talking about biology from an age-appropriate way, and she makes the point also not about birds and bees who aren't like us. They have eggs and they have other processes. So, but mammals who feed their children from their bodies, from their breasts, and who procreate in ways similar to ours, makes the difference and establishes that foundation. So I think if you will really, everybody will benefit from listening to that that episode. And, you know, the individual Asking questions is so important in your relationships with people. So when a child would come to you and say, I'm having this confusion or whatever, being understanding and talking about how confusing it is, how confusing it was for you when you were a teenager is helpful.
Oh, you want to finish on the other side? I think you heard. Yeah, I saw you. All right. Rylene heard the music. She knows how this works. So we got to take a quick break. Sharon, if you'll hang on a minute, we'll come back to you. But we'll let Rylene finish her answer right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're always so happy when Rylene Simpson is here with us. If you want to see her star turn in a movie, then you can watch Desire of the Everlasting Hills. You work with Encourage too, or are you still associated with Encourage?
Yes, I'm a Courage member and an Encourage. I've moved recently, so I don't have an Encourage group that I'm actively moderating or anything right now, but I have been a moderator in the past. And both of those ministries, Cy, are very, very generous ministries, very lovely ministries. So for anybody who is experiences same-sex attraction, who wants to live by God's plan for human sexuality, Courage is the place to go. Whether you're Catholic or not, I should mention that too, because we have a lot of non-Catholic Christians who look for a place to go. And then Encourage is the ministry for those folks who are family members or friends of people who are living the gay life. They need support, and we provide that in Encourage.
So just look it up, Courage or Encourage. We're talking with Sharon in Minnesota, who is a public school teacher, about the difficulties that teachers have in dealing with students who might present with issues having to do with sex or gender. You recommended the interview we did with Dr. Anna Samuel, a very good interview. She's a wonderful, she's just a wonderfully helpful person. But you were in the midst of finishing your answer to Sharon, and then we'll go back and see what Sharon thinks.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, this is a very powerful relationship that a teacher has with children and with the children that they're teaching. And so I think that it is important in these discussions that we ask a lot of questions. So if someone were to come to me and say, I'm having these feelings, I like Roseanne, she's my friend, she's my best friend, I think I'm gay, or I want to be her boyfriend, and I'm, you know, whatever those kinds of things are, the thing to do is really ask probing questions. So tell me about what that feels like. Tell me about what you like about her. Tell me why you think that makes, you know, would lead to this idea of being gay. Can two women or two girls have a friendship that hasn't got anything to do with being gay? You know, you can ask, if you ask the questions, it's so much more powerful, as you probably know from your teaching methods, than telling them something, presenting them with facts. And the second part of that, I would say, has to do with these situations come about not because of facts, but because of emotions. It's not a logical argument will never turn around a feelings-based decision. You can't argue, you can't reason somebody out of a decision they made based on an emotion or a feeling. So you have to get down to the feelings and the emotions and in these, any kind of interaction you're having. And that covers us in every age.
Sharon, I wanted to come back to you and get your response to what Rylene had to say.
That your advice and what you've both shared has really helped me. And it's just kind of taken me aback, you know, lately with teaching, because I teach physical education for students with disabilities. So I have, you know, even like I'll be teaching class and they'll say, okay, you group of girls, I would like you five girls to be on a team. And you boys over here, and one of the girls runs up and says, you know, hey, you called me a girl and I don't identify as that. And I said, well, I would still like you to be a part of that group. It's just a group, you know. And so dealing with those things, or accidentally calling them by their dead name, or, you know, it's just so, it's being pushed on, you know, us teachers that don't agree with the agenda that is being pushed on us, and it goes against my beliefs. But I just want to handle it lovingly and gently and let those kids know I still love them, you know, but it's just really getting to the point where to be a teacher in certain school districts or schools, at some point you're going to have to make a decision whether you can continue teaching there because of what is being, you're being told to do and what to teach.
Right. Very difficult. I just want to put in one more plug for something. Since you are a physical education teacher, then the idea of pairing up girls against girls and boys against boys, you can simply say, well, I'm just pairing you up based on your physical abilities as I've evaluated them, right? It happens to be that girls can't win against boys. So, you know, we're going to put two teams of girls of each other, but it's because of your physical you know, your physical capabilities. I would think that might be a way. I don't know if that's will work in your special needs situation, but anyway, that's a thought.
Well, Sharon, God bless you. I your instinct to want to make sure the kids know you love them is that sounded awful good. It sounds like a very, very good instinct. And thank you very much for the call. I think the wider society is starting to become fully clued in on what teachers are dealing with and what the unreality that they're being asked to live with students. And I hope that will mean some help is on the way. But who knows? We'll see. Rylene Simpson is our guest. Thank you, Sharon, very much for the call. We're talking about same-sex attraction. If you're Catholic, you can call. If you're not Catholic, you can call. If it's an issue for you or just an issue you'd like to know more about, you're welcome. 888-318-7884. Going to Joshua in Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Joshua, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Hi there, Cy and Rylene. I just thank you for taking my call. I don't have so much a question as just a word of encouragement. I myself am a young Catholic who experiences same-sex attraction. And I think a word of advice would be just for anyone out there who feels the guilt and the shame, which I personally felt for many years. It wasn't until I was 21 where I felt courageous enough to open up to close friends and family about my struggle. Just know that the church is out there to help. And in my experience, I've experienced nothing but love, compassion, and good friendships to help answer my questions, walk through the difficulties, and like Rylene said, courage is out there. I know personally, Desert Stream has helped me.
Oh, and, they're wonderful. Yeah,
it's just I just wanted to offer encouragement, and that God's love is bigger than anything, and with Him, all things are possible. So
praise God, Joshua.
Thank you for what you do, and yeah. Just for encouragement to those out there.
Well, thank you for taking the time to call with that encouragement. Rylene?
Yeah, very much so. And you'll be in our prayers, Joshua. But I agree with you. And I appreciate hearing a young voice, because there are a lot of voices in your generation who are disheartened by if they've experienced much of the gay life, they are quickly disheartened by it. And also, I know a lot of chaste young people who are part of the Courage movement, who have just made the decision, you know, I know what's right, and I'm going to live by that, and use courage as a source of, what do we call it? Detached friendship, like French, yeah. True friendship. Yeah. Properly detached friendship. So thank you, Joshua. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you very, very much, Joshua. Appreciate that. Are you familiar, Rylene, with the people at Desert Stream?
That's Andy Comiskey's, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. He's terrific. Isn't he a ball of energy for the Lord?
He scares me, actually. He's got too much. I can't take that kind of energy. Yeah. Yes. But I do think it's just wonderful that these ministries are coming up, and there's, like Joshua talking about shame, you know, there's shame that's related just to feelings. And then there's a lack of shame related to many of our behaviors. We might be a mean person and have no shame about it, but someone has a sexual inclination that's, you know, not on the approved list, and they feel terrible shame. And I think this is a great healing that the church can offer, a wonderful healing that and I think Andy does that.
Yes, yeah.
Joshua, God bless you, brother. Thank you very much for the call. I'm going to go to Oregon. Listening on the great modern day Catholic radio up there in Oregon. Sarah, you are up. Go ahead with your question for Rylene Simpson.
Hey. Yeah, great. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is this has been really enlightening for me. So, my question is, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I do have lots of friends, acquaintances who are, let's say, married same-sex couples. I try to exhibit the Catholic values as much as I can. And I, share things in my life going on, for example, my daughter being confirmed recently in the faith. And I just, I'm trying to understand how I can be a better witness, because I feel like sometimes it can be taken as an acceptance totally of their lifestyle. If I don't, but, you know, I want to be respectful, but I also want to, kind of be a light for the Catholic faith. So any advice you have on how to make that relationship, be more of a witness in terms of, being respectful, but also making it known, that how my faith is important and how their kind of lifestyle is not, in line with it as
okay.
they're living it.
Yeah. All right, Sarah. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, for the question. It's a great question. And you sound to me like you're already in relationship with these married same-sex couples. And so I think that's a wonderful start. I think that our job is to witness to people, certainly as much through the way we live out our lives as through the jabbering or, constantly quoting the catechism or any of that stuff. The catechism is a beautiful document. I love it. I love, in fact, the paragraphs about same-sex attraction and also how they fit into the overall plan, God's plan for human sexuality. And so I think that your role and all of us need to be exactly what you're already doing, which is to be engaged with these folks and to live your life in charity, but also be moved to speak the truth when the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. So you know, inviting people to mass. It's a nice thing. Inviting people to Catholic things can sometimes start a discussion about, oh, that nasty Catholic church, the, where you can kind of start to address things, but also being prepared, as St. Peter said, I think it was St. Peter, prepared with an explanation for the joy that is in you, right? And so what we need to do, I think what we need to do more of is reading about the topic and understanding the church's reasoning about the topic. So some of the documents the church has come out with, some of the books like Made This Way from Trent Horn and Lila Miller. That's a great, you know, a great resource. So there's a lot of great resources out there. What I think is that we have to have the words at the ready. The Holy Spirit is there to work through us, but if we haven't paved the way, if we haven't read up on it, if we haven't said, maybe in a small discussion group, talked through the issues and why the Catholic Church teaches what she teaches and how that benefits all of her members, the bodies of or the body of Christ. If we haven't really practiced this in our own smaller circles, then the words typically don't just come in a way that's palatable to the rest of the world. And so I think that like you're doing, being in relationship, leading your life as a Catholic life in charity, being a good role model. You didn't mention if you're married or not, but being a good couple, a good Catholic couple if you're married. Hospitality is important, and then being ready to answer the questions when they come, and giving and opening up to opportunities for them to ask questions. So speaking about your faith without, you know, overdoing it, I think is a good idea.
Okay, Sarah.
Yeah, excellent. That's so helpful. Thank you.
Well, it's a wonderful call. Thank you very much. That brings us right to the break. We'll take a quick break. Right back with more calls for Rylene Simpson on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one, Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Rylene Simpson. We're talking about the Catholic approach to same-sex attraction. And if you have a question in that regard, whether you are Catholic or one of our other fellow Christians or not Christian at all, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. It just occurred to me to ask you this because I always forget. I'm not really good at like the Secretary's Day or all the things that we commemorate, but it's supposed to be Pride Month this month. And does that mean anything to you, or how do you kind of, how do you deal with that, or how do you think about that?
Pride goeth before the fall.
Now don't hold back on us. Okay. All right. I'm glad I asked.
Let me tell you something. I'm very familiar with Pride. Every time I go to confession, it's like right at the top of my list.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right.
Right. But in 1992, we moved to the Bay Area, Margo and I, that's my former partner. And all the gay friends said, oh, you haven't been to the Pride Parade? You have to go to the Pride Parade. So we went to the Pride Parade, and I don't know what I thought I was going to see. I thought, well, you know, maybe gay real estate agents in their Cadillacs going with the tops down or something.
I'd like to see that actually myself. That sounds like a heck of a parade.
Margo and I went to that parade, and wow, we were kind of shocked, and we were embarrassed rather than proud of the community.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was quite graphic. And so I avoid San Francisco in June, frankly.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of, I don't know if it's changed much since then. They say, oh, it's family friendly. So hopefully it is, because I know a lot of people take their kids to the Pride Parade, but I don't know what to say about Pride Month.
Well, it's become big business now. I mean,
oh my gosh, all the branding around it, and T-shirts for every age, and all the big box stores and whatever.
I might be the only person who's noticed it, but this is big at Target.
Am I the only person there? I don't know.
Yeah, I was shocked to find this, but I went in there to buy some Bud Light, and I was like, what's going on here? All right, let's go to Walt in Pennsylvania, listening on EWTN. Walt, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
That was funny.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the balance between, treating people with dignity and respect, but at the same time, aggressively protecting the young and pursuing the truth?
Okay.
I mean, for instance, they have these television programs now that are directly targeting young, how you can change your gender, et cetera. It's pathetic and scary. And it's happening in the public school system too. And, we want to treat people with kindness, but at the same time, I think we have to push back hard. Otherwise, we're all going to be put in jail because we don't agree. The thought police will get us.
Rylene?
Yeah, great question, Walt. I would say one of the things we always have to keep in mind when we're discussing the issue of same-sex attraction, the gay movement, all of these things, is there is a different methodology when you're dealing with an individual person. Each of us individual people have the dignity that God gave us and deserve to be respected, as opposed to dealing with organizations, whether they're gay lobby organizations or big retailer organizations or podcast personalities, commercial companies. Those things are handled in a completely different way, because then you're dealing with powerful forces. Whereas individually, when we're talking to the next door neighbor who's brought home his boyfriend and has moved him in and they're getting married, that's a relationship situation and is dealt with kindness and respect and patience, with the understanding that God gave every one of us a free will, and it's up to us to use it, right? As opposed to, can we boycott companies that are misbehaving, that are pushing agendas that are harmful to our youth? All of that is done at an organizational level with no malice, but with the intent that we are people of God, but we do have purchasing power. We do have we can take our business elsewhere, and we should when it's appropriate. So I think that those two levels are the way that we have to deal with balancing the protection of your young. And honestly, if you're a parent, Walt, and I'm sure if you're a parent, you already know this, but for all the parents out there, you have to be much more vigilant now than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many hidden messages in mainstream media, in movies that are supposedly targeted to children. So much of the hidden agenda is not hiding anymore. It's right out there. So vigilance about what you're consuming, and an openness to talk about anything that you see. That's another point that I'll go back to Anna Samuel in that in that Catholic Answers focus portion, she talks about talking about, confronting, maybe it's too strong of a word, but just addressing the issue when it comes up. Oh, well, if I think this, then does that necessarily lead to this, right? So if something comes up on TV that your kid is exposed to and you're sitting side by side, the time to deal with it is then, and to talk about it in a calm, safe, ordinary, run-of-the-mill manner, and to address it and talk about why or why not it might be appropriate, or is it really true, or does it make sense? Those are the times to address these things right when you encounter them in the media.
Well, thanks very, very much. It's a tough line to walk, that the line of truth and love and not letting go of either. I'm going to continue to go, though, because I want to get as many on as I can with Rileen before we have to go. And Lynn in Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Radio, is next. Lynn, could you be quick with your question to give Rileen a chance?
Yes. Hi. I was just curious. Everybody's talking about how the students and the teenagers are confused today. I'd like to see, can you tell me, like, what do you think is causing confusion? I worked in a high school, and I think a lot of it could be teenager drama and just going along with fads. I ask people my age and younger, have you ever been confused as a teenager? And everybody says no. If you could address that.
Oh, well, weren't they wonderful times when we grew up? So we grew up, I don't know how old you are, Lynn, but let's just say you're probably younger than me, but not as young as Cy. I don't know.
Well, that's a wide spectrum you're covering there, because I am a mere youth.
That's right. But I think that we grew up in a culture, I did, and Cy did, I think. We grew up in a culture where marriage was honored, where sexual behavior was private, where the body was respected and treated more modestly, and where there was not an openness to every possible experience. There was not this pressure to experience everything that there was to be experienced. I think there was a more common sense understanding that experiences actually change you. So I think that growing up in the 60s, for me, 60s and 70s, the environment was much more supportive of our traditional values, because we had thousands and thousands of years of growing up in an environment where male-female pairing off was the thing, right? But with the sexual revolution, with people opening up about their sexuality, with people talking in public about their various variations, our culture is no longer supportive of parents staying together, of marriages. It's very supportive of experience. It's individuality is elevated above working towards the common good. So I think there's a lot of factors that now that kids experience that we don't have. We didn't have those pressures.
Lynn, thanks very much, Lynn, for you were quick on that question. And as you can hear, that was helpful because we're right up to the end. Rileen Simpson, thank you so much. I know we gave you short notice this week, and you came in and you saved us. And what a great hour. Thank you for doing it with us.
So happy to be here, Cy. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, that does it for us. I don't like this part. I got to go now. Oh, well, we'll be back soon, God willing, right here. Catholic Answers Live.